Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. I thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, graphene oxide and the National Nanotechnology Initiative. You may not be familiar with graphene oxide or nanotechnology. Scientists claim if you are a recipient of the mRNA vaccine, your body may be very familiar with graphene oxide and nanotechnology. Scientists say exposure to graphene oxide is toxic, and it is not a secret. Well, I thought I heard it all with the spike protein and, you know, all of that stuff. But now I've come to a place where all I can say is, as Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? Since I don't have boots on the ground, I had to follow the footprints of those who do. From NanoWhisk, what is graphene oxide, right? Okay, graphene oxide, graphene is the name for a single layer, one layer sheet of carbon atoms that are bonded together in a repeated pattern for hexagons, right? This sheet is only one atom thick, okay? Monolayers of graphene stacked up on top of each other form graphite. Since the typical carbon atom has a diameter of about 0.33 nanometers, there are about 3 million layers of graphene in a 1 millimeter thick sheet of graphite. That's a very small, you can't even see it. Which is amazing. Anyway, how did anybody even work with stuff like this? This is above my pay grade and my intelligence level. But I'm going to try to walk you guys through what I've just been walked through myself. In scientific terms, the extraordinary characteristics of graphene originate from the 2p orbitals, which form the state band that delocalize over the sheet of carbons that constitute graphene. Harder than diamond, yet more elastic than rubber, tougher than steel, yet lighter than aluminum, graphene is the strongest known material. To put it in perspective, if a sheet of cling film, like kitchen wrap film, right, had the same strength as a pristine layer of graphene, it would require the force exerted by a mass of 2,000 kilograms or a large car to puncture it with a pencil. That's how strong this is. Graphene possesses other amazing characteristics. It's high electron mobility. Is 100 times faster than silicon. It conducts heat 2 times better than a diamond. Its electrical conductivity is 13 times better than copper. It absorbs only 2.3% of reflecting light. It is impervious so that even the smallest atom, helium, can't pass through a defect-free monolayer graphene sheet. Its high surface area of 2,630 square meters per gram means that with less than 3 grams, you could cover an entire soccer field. Well, practically speaking, they say, right? You need 6 grams, right? But we're not arguing about that because we're not even worried about covering a football field with this material. Graphene represents a conceptually new class of materials that are only one atom thick, so-called two-dimensional materials. They are called two-dimensional because they extend in only two dimensions, length and width. All right? As the material is only one atom thick, the third dimension height is considered to be zero. It is only at this single or few layer state that graphene's amazing properties appeared up. All right? So that's very important when I just read, because it ties into the story that I'm trying to convey here tonight. We're going to be on tonight for about 2 hours. Maybe. This is from my quirky friend. And these are not mainstream sites, but they have some interesting information. Graphene oxide, right, is a derivative of graphene, correct? According to grapheneinfo.com, graphene is a material made of carbon atoms that are bonded together in a repeating pattern of hexagons. I just said that, right? The reason why I'm saying it is because I just want you to see that there are other sources, and they're not necessarily mainstream sources that have correct information. Graphene is so thin that it is considered two-dimensional. Graphene is flat. Honeycomb pattern gives it many extraordinary characteristics, such as being the strongest material in the world, as well as the lightest, most conductive, and transparent. Same thing, right? Graphene has endless potential and applications in almost every industry, like electronics, medicine, aviation, and much more. Very important, particularly electronics and medicine, right? Graphene oxide causes a metallic taste. Perhaps this is starting to make sense to you now, they said. Inhaled graphene oxide causes inflammation of the mucous membrane and thus loss of taste and partial or total loss of smell. I'm going to say that one more time because we should be familiar with that. We may not be familiar with graphene oxide, but we are familiar with something that causes inflammation in the mucous membrane, loss of taste, and partial loss of smell. Graphene oxide acquires powerful magnetic properties inside the organism. So that inflammation of the mucous membranes and loss of taste and partial smell, that sounds familiar, kind of like the symptoms of COVID-19. Maybe they share the same symptoms like the flu and COVID-19, you know, the runny nose and, you know, fever and, you know, some of the same symptoms. Maybe it's just coincidence. Fundamental concepts in nanoscience and nanotechnology, says. What is nanotechnology? It is hard to imagine just how small nanotechnology is. One nanometer is a billionth of a meter, or 10/9 of a meter. Here are a few illustrative examples. There are 25,400,000 nanometers in an inch. A sheet of newspaper is about 100,000 nanometers thick. On a comparative scale, if a marble were a nanometer, then 1 meter would be the size of the Earth. All right? Nanoscience, right? And nanotechnology involves the ability to see and to control individual atoms and molecules. Everything on Earth is made up of atoms, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the buildings, the houses we live in, and our own bodies. Enzo Nano says, what is next? Nanotechnology. Nanotechnology is a field of research and innovation concerned with building things, generally materials and devices, on the scale of atoms and molecules. Right? The nano meter is 1 billionth of a meter. 10 times the diameter of a hydrogen atom. The diameter of a human hair is on average 80,000 nanometers. At such scales, the ordinary rules of physics and chemistry no longer apply. For instance, materials, characteristics such as their color, strength, conductivity, and reactivity can differ substantially between the nanoscale and the macro, right? Scale, right? Carbon nanotubes are 100 times stronger than steel, but 6 times lighter. Concerns about nanoparticles and toxicity. Research has shown that nano-sized particles accumulate in the nasal cavities, lungs, and brains of rats, and that carbon nanomaterials known as buckyballs induce brain damage in fish. By Vivian Howard, a toxicologist at the University of Liverpool in the United Kingdom, has warned that the small size of nanoparticles could render them toxic, and warns that full hazard assessments are needed before manufacturing is licensed. So both graphene oxide and nanotechnology deal with extremely small things. Apparently, both can be toxic, according to Anzil Nano, right? The article, right? How do we place graphene oxide with nanotechnology and nanotechnology with the COVID-19 vaccine? From PMC, U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. A drawback of the current mRNA lipid nanoparticle, LNP, right? COVID-19 vaccine is that they have to be stored at ultra-low temperatures. Sounds like we have a connection already. Of the many COVID-19 vaccines under development, the two vaccines that have shown the most promising results in preventing COVID-19 infection represent a new class of vaccine products. They are composed of messenger ribonucleic acid, mRNA strands, right? Encapsulated in lipid nanoparticles, okay, LNP, right? Lipid nanoparticles. The effectiveness of the mRNA vaccines developed by biotech Pfizer and Moderna is about 95%, and they were the first mRNA vaccines to receive emergency use authorization by the FDA and conditional approval by the EMA, right? These mRNA COVID-19 vaccines encode, right, the spike protein, right? Glycoprotein of the SARS, the viral spike glycoprotein of the SARS-CoV-2, right? That includes two proline substitutions, K986P and V987P mutations. Unfortunately, I didn't have the opportunity to look up what those things were, but you can. In order to stabilize the perfusion conformation of the glycoprotein, right? Upon intramuscular injection into the muscle, right? Administration, the LPN, right? That's the nanoparticle, right? Lipid nanoparticle system enables the uptake by host cells and the delivery of mRNA inside the cytosol, where the translation of the mRNA sequence into the S protein occurs in the ribosomes. Right? So I know the short story to that is it holds the spike protein in place so that the cell can make the spike proteins, right? Needed to combat the disease, right? Anyway, that connects nanotechnology with the vaccine. But what about graphene oxide with nanotechnology and the vaccine? From Portal, what are the ingredients of the COVID-19 vaccine? What's in them? I guess that's the question for the night, right? So many people curious about it, right? And here's the breakdown. Pfizer vaccine. The full list of ingredients. Not that we even know what these things are. But we're going to try to, we're going to run through this anyway. mRNA, lipids, 4-hydroxybutyl, look, there's words in here I can't even say. Isoniazid, this, hexan-6, 1-diol, this, 2-hexadiol, Canote, 2-polyethylene glycol -2000-N N detetracetamide 1-2-detaeriol -SN glycerol -3, physocholine and cholesterol, potassium chloride, monobasic potassium phosphate, sodium chloride, dibasic sodium phosphate, dihydrate, and sucrose. The Pfizer vaccine does not contain eggs, preservatives, or latex. Moderna vaccine, messenger ribonucleic acid, right? mRNA, which I will be saying instead of that messenger ribonucleic acid. Lipids, right? HM-102, polyethylene glycol, PEG-2000, dimethyl glycerol, DMG, cholesterol, and 1-2-desterol, SN, glycerol, -3, physocholine, DSPC, chlormethylene, chlormethamine, hydrochloride, acetic acid, sodium, acetate, trihydrate, and sucrose. The Moderna vaccine does not contain eggs, preservatives, or latex. Johnson & Johnson. We have the recombinant replication incompetent adrenovirus type 26 expressing the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, right? Citric acid, monohydrate, trisodium, citrate, dihydrate, ethanol, 2-hydropropyl. What's that? 6? Or I don't know what that is. Cyclodextrin, HBCD, polysorbate 80, sodium chloride. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine does not contain eggs, preservatives, or latex. Well, no mention of graphene oxide, or at least not one I can recognize. So what's the problem? Why would vaccine makers lie or, worse, plan to poison 7 billion people? They don't need people to work for them, keep businesses open, fly their planes or rocket ships, cook their food, make them laugh, heal them, take care of their luxury homes. What kind of a diabolical plot is that? That makes no sense. Could the plot be to create the clientele for their new scientific and medical technology industry while depopulating the earth? That is truly evil genius stuff. If this is partially true, I would say we need to clean house. Both houses, all houses, councils, positions, in high places and high and low places that didn't protect the people of Earth from the scientific plague being forced on the world without doing some extensive research on these vaccines and alternative treatments, especially the Democrats who never opposed Biden's unethical, unconstitutional, get down or lay down vaccine mandate. I had to throw that in there. As for the vaccine makers, I'm sure Americans and people all over the world can think of a punishment that will fit their crime. But wait a minute. What crime? Rutgers.com fact check. The allegations based online reports that COVID-19 vaccines contain graphene oxide are unfounded. The allegations are based on an analysis by a professor in Spain, which has been rejected by the experts. He obtained what he himself described as a non-conclusive result after studying one vial. He said the vial was purported to contain a dose of Pfizer biotech vaccine, but said it had come to him by a messenger service and acknowledged that the vial's origin was unknown. Not a good science project, right? Pfizer told Rutgers its vaccine does not contain the material. This material is also not listed in any of the widely available COVID-19 vaccines worldwide. What the? Full fact check. COVID-19 vaccines still don't contain graphene oxide. This is from October 14th, 2021. Excuse me. What was claimed? Vaccines contain graphene oxide. Their verdict? False. The COVID-19 vaccines do not contain graphene oxide. And a post Instagram claims graphene oxide is in the vaccines and can cause clotting and mitochondrial issues, among other elements. A lot of stuff, right? The suggestion is that this refers to the COVID-19 vaccine. As we have written before, they say COVID vaccines currently in use do not contain graphene oxide. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency previously told Full Fact there is no graphene oxide in any of the authorized vaccines. Graphene oxide is a material with a number of uses within the biotechnology and in other fields. There is evidence that it can be toxic in certain applications. The myth about graphene oxide in vaccines seems to have originated with a Spanish study claiming that using transmission electron microscopy technique, which allows particularly fine details and structures to be seen, a solution created from a vial of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine takes a similar form to graphene oxide. So it's like putting a magnet to it, and it has the same kind of, it responds the way graphene oxide responds. You can check that out on the website. They have graphene oxide responding to a magnet on the web. However, there are many issues with this research, which has not been published in a scientific journal or peer review. It's not published in a scientific journal, and it hasn't been peer reviewed, right? Firstly, the provenance of the vial was known. I don't know where that vial came from. We don't even know if it was Pfizer. We don't know whether it was a vial or vaccine. They said, and the fact checkers' health feedback report that the person who sent the vial to the researcher is known to spread anti-vaccine contact. Might have was tainted. We don't know. Secondly, the study says the findings are not conclusive evidence for the presence of graphene oxide in the vaccine. While the researcher is a professor at the University of Almería, the university has distanced itself from the work, saying it is unofficial. It is unofficial. Report by a university professor, an analyst of a sample of unknown origin with total lack of traceability. They don't know where it came from, and they maybe not even know where it is at the point they having this conversation. It is possible. It is impossible to track the validity of the Spanish lab's analysis because the steps and procedures and the COVID-19 vaccine specimen were not documented. So, these so-called Spanish lab findings have not been published in any respectable peer-reviewed scientific journal. The person who sent the vial to the researcher is known to spread anti-vaccine content, which might have been the purpose. I'm not saying it is or it ain't. I'm just reading this story. The question is, has any other scientist made such a discovery? Did anyone check the vaccine sample they had examined or a vaccine sample of their own? Is it crazy to speak about graphene oxide, SARS-CoV-2, and vaccines in the same sentence? You have to wonder why, of all things, graphene oxide is being associated with the COVID-19 vaccine. That is actually something that can be scientifically proven, not explained away. Why aren't these scientists and medical professionals coming together on this very crucial issue? It's not like it makes no sense to me. From PubMed, potential of graphene-based materials to combat COVID-19 properties, perspective, and prospects. Published online October 2020. The abstract, and it's only part of it. They say that SARS-CoV-2 is a new virus in the coronavirus family that causes coronavirus disease, COVID-19, emerges as a big threat to the human race. To date, there is no medicine and vaccine available for COVID-19 treatment. While the development of medicines and vaccines are essentially and urgently required, what is also extremely important is the repurposing of smart materials to design effective systems for combating COVID-19. Repurposing of smart materials to design effective systems for combating COVID-19. Graphene and graphene-related materials, right, GRM, right, exhibit extraordinary psychochemical, electrical, optical, antiviral, antimicrobial, and other fascinating properties that warrant them as potential candidates for designing and development of high performance components and devices required for COVID-19 pandemic and other futuristic calamities. Now, I always get suspicious when somebody just anticipating futuristic calamity, but we're going to go ahead anyway. In this article, they discuss the potential of graphene and graphene-related materials for healthcare applications and how they may contribute to fighting against COVID-19. So I guess it isn't crazy to talk about graphene oxide, SARS-CoV-2, and vaccines in the same sentence. The article went on to say, in general, graphene oxide and its derivatives have wide spectrum of antiviral properties such as against positive sense and negative sense viruses, RNA and DNA viruses, and enveloped and non-enveloped viruses. Thus, these materials have immense potential in the development of antiviral services and coatings for preventing contamination from virulent and contagious viruses, right, including SARS-CoV-2, right, and could control the disease transmission, particularly for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, considering the virus structures rich in COOH functionalities and lower survival time of the virus on copper surfaces. Graphene oxide coatings enriched with copper nanoparticles, copper ions, could be promising candidates for the development of anti-SARS-CoV-2 surfaces. The complete structures of the graphene oxide with the antimicrobial metals, including silver, titanium, and gold, could also be explored to unveil their potential in the fabrication of effective antiviral coating design. This material can help in effectively capturing and destabilizing the virus structures and minimizing their survival time on disease-coated surfaces. There appears to be a relationship between graphene oxide and the development of treatment and or prevention of viral infection. Graphene oxide and its derivatives have a wide spectrum of antiviral properties, such as against positive sense and negative sense viruses, RNA and DNA viruses, and enveloped and non-enveloped viruses. It is not a far-fetched idea to use graphene oxide or to find graphene oxide in a vaccine. The Spanish lab found a material that reacts to magnetic contact like graphene oxide does. What I'm not hearing is the results of someone else actually analyzing the vaccines to prove or disprove the existence of graphene oxide. Where are those clinical studies? How can you can discredit the findings of the Spanish lab, but that doesn't prove that graphene oxide isn't or wasn't in the vial of vaccine, right? The responsible thing to do would be to have a couple of independent scientists analyze samples of all the vaccines, including the vial the Spanish lab tested. The Spanish lab's results should have elicited such a response. It is the only way to know for sure. Put our science to use. From Planet Today, Dr. Jane Ruby talked about the presence of graphene oxide in Wuhan coronavirus COVID-2 vaccines during November 1st episode of the Dr. Holtz report on Brighton TV. Ruby showed Stephen Holt's proof of the toxic substance found by a doctor who examined the shots. Who's she talking about? Ruby has been involved with pharmaceutical companies for over 20 years, bringing up the approval of new drugs into the regulatory process. She's been inside of the beast. She knows it like the back of her hand, and she's exposing it, Hope said on his show, right? I guess you can check that out. H-O-T-Z-E. That's the host. Dr. Stephen, H-O-T-Z-E, right? And you can check out this lady. On the show, who's saying that, what is her first name? Dr. Jane Ruby. So if you want to look that up, check it out. Or you can look this article up, planettoday.com, 2021, right? In July, Ruby revealed that COVID-19 vaccines, specifically the Pfizer-Moderna mRNA vaccines, contain the toxic substance, right? She also disclosed that a group of scientists had earlier discovered the shocking truth. She told the host, we saw a lot of different videos on social media of people having all kinds of metal-like objects sticking to them. I saw a couple of those. At first, it didn't make a lot of it, but eventually it was happening so often. When it started happening to people who had not taken these injections, I got very curious. That's interesting. She said she started digging around, and of course, in the course of that search, she found a Spanish group of researchers. They go by the name of La Quinta Coloma, the fifth column, and they got their hands on a Pfizer vaccine vial with a chain custody. So they know where this came from. They had a police officer who's anonymous bring it to them and verify the source. What they did was they put it under a regular light microscope to begin with. They saw something very unusual. It looked like a piece of towel with paint poured over it. Sort of that thickness. They had an industrial chemical expert who said, you know, that is what graphene oxide looks like under the microscope. Further scrutiny of the vaccine confirmed the presence of graphene oxide in the shot. The La Quinta Coloma scientists took the vaccine to the University of Almería in Spain to analyze its composition. Upon observation under an electron microscope, they saw very evil-looking black spots with a black mesh running through them. And they noted the related Spanish study finds Pfizer vaccine contains high levels of toxic graphene oxide, right? Then there's a South African doctor who corroborates the presence of graphene oxide in COVID vaccine. Aside from La Quinta Coloma scientists, some other doctors confirm the presence of graphene oxide in the vaccines through the blood of vaccinated individuals, including Dr. Zandre Botha of South Africa. The South African integrative practitioner analyzed a vial of COVID-19 vaccine and confirmed that graphene oxide was indeed in the shots. In the vial, he saw those big black discs. Now people said they were air bubbles, and she said absolutely not. They're too uniform. They're symmetric, and they have these metal connectors that if self-assemble and self-dissemble. Ruby said about the findings. Too uniform. They are symmetric, and they have these metal connectors that self-assemble and self-disassemble. Wow. This is some science fiction stuff. A report by Karen's News also touched on what the South African doctor discovered in the blood of vaccinated people. The red blood cells were so deformed you could not make head nor tail of it, Botha said. She said she also pointed out that the black structures in the blood that she found in the samples of injected indivisibles. Wow. I found these graphene oxide structures in every single vaccinated person with symptoms. I was so shocked, she said, because what I saw in the patient's blood, I also saw in the vial. Ruby also shared with Halt about her exchange with her South African colleague. Both reached out to me directly and walked me through her finding. When the black disappeared, I did not sleep for 2 or 3 days. Okay, I got under her skin. All right, so here we have the testimony of some scientists or medical professionals stating they have found graphene oxide in the vaccine. These medical professionals stated that they found graphene oxide in people who were vaccinated and in the vaccine vial. Here is something you can do at home. Get a magnet. Place it on the injection site. If it sticks, it could be because the vaccine has graphene oxide in it. Could it be something else? Because she said that that was happening to people who weren't vaccinated. So could the source of graphene oxide be even something else? And I'm not saying it's not in the vial, not in the vaccine. I'm just saying, could it also be something else? What other explanation is there? It is not like scientists were not exploring the uses of graphene oxide with this COVID-19 situation we had. And I'm not trying to make little of it by calling it a situation because it isn't plague. If it doesn't stick, does it mean that the vaccine did not stay in the shoulder and the spike protein and graphene oxide are moving throughout the systems of the body? Does it mean that these scientists have it all wrong? There is no graphene oxide in the vaccine. News 4 Awake says, 5th chemical properties based differential toxicity of graphene oxide reduced graphene oxide in human lung cells mediated through oxidative stress. Patients.google.com. Nano coronavirus recombinant vaccine taking graphene oxide as carrier. Abstract said, the invention belongs to the field of nanomaterials and biomedicine and relates to a vaccine, in particular to development of the 2019 nCoV coronavirus nuclear recombinant nano vaccine. Wow. The vision also comprises a preparation method of the vaccine and application of the vaccine in animal experiments. The new corona vaccine contains graphene oxide, carcinosin, CPG, and new coronavirus, RBD, binding carcinosin, CPG, and neo coronavirus, RBD, on the backbone of graphene oxide. The CPG coding sequence is shown as SEQIDNO1. The novel coronavirus, RBD, refers to a novel coronavirus protein receptor binding region, which can generate a high titer specific antibody aiming at the RBD in a mouth body and provides a strong support for prevention and treatment of the novel coronavirus and freedoms. American scientists confirm toxic graphene oxide and more in COVID injections. By Rhonda Wilson, this is August 30th. Vaccines from the pharmaceutical company were analyzed by Dr. Young, right? Talked about her, biochemist, microbiologist, and clinical nutritionist. Liposome capsids are fatty lipid capsules. We are told their purpose is to envelope the mRNA to protect the genetic material from breaking down before it has reached its target, our body cells. All four COVID vaccines contain relatively high levels of graphene oxide, but both the Pfizer and Moderna liposome capsules are 100% graphene oxide after extracting the mRNA. Graphene oxide is cytotoxic, genotoxic, and magnet toxic, right? The image below, where they had those liposome capsules containing graphene oxide and the Pfizer vaccine. The liposome delivers the graphene oxide to specific organs, glands, tissues, namely the ovaries, testes, bone marrow, heart, and brain. Now, if it's toxic, if we get in the bone marrow, any of this, it's ovaries, and we kept, I'm going to keep going. The National Nanotechnology Initiative, right, is science, engineering, and technology conducted at the nanoscale, which is about 1 to 100 nanometers, right? That's very, very small, right? You can't go to Walmart to get that microscope, right? Nanoscience and nanotechnology are the study and application of extremely small things and can be used across all the other science fields, such as chemistry, biology, physics, material sciences, and engineering. Nanoscience and nanotechnology involve the ability to see and to control individual atoms and molecules, right? We said that, right? Today, scientists and engineers are finding a variety of ways to deliberately make materials at the nanoscale to take advantage of their enhanced properties, such as higher strength, lighter weight, increased control of light spectrum, the greater chemical reactivity than their larger scale counterparts, right? From NutraTruth.org, right? They say graphene oxide, the vector for the COVID-19 democide. That's killing people. Democide. Killing other people. They're getting raw. Nanotech graphene oxide is superconductive and highly integrated with neuron cells in the brain. So far, everything's consistent. As is, except for the people who say it's not in the vaccine at all. That's the only inconsistency we get. But when they mention graphene oxide, the reports of the activity of the properties of graphene oxide and how it impacts on the body are pretty consistent. The molecules of graphene can interact with neurons in the brain in a remote mode using different radio frequencies, 5G. Could be one of these frequencies. Uh-huh. They can map the brain and transmit and receive instructions remotely. Now, that's some other stuff right there. That's some more science. That's some extremely scientific stuff. Just this whole nanotechnology thing, something that's so small that to have moving point parts to it, is that's a little too much for me. I don't know how y'all feel about that. That's a little too much for me. Anyway, the NIH, National Library of Medicine, PubMed.gov, right? National Centers for Biotechnology Information says effects of graphene oxide nanoparticles on the immune system. Biomarkers produced by RAW-2, 64.7 and human whole blood cell cultures. All right, so we got a clinical trial or whatever you want to call it, right? In this study, the in vitro effects of the graphene oxide nanoparticles, they call it GONPs, right, on the immune system was evaluated by exposing marine microphages, RAW-2, 64.7 cells, and human whole blood cultures to the GONPs, right? Graphene oxide nanoparticles, right? It said the graphene oxide nanoparticles were cytotoxic to both raw and whole blood cell cultures at 500 milliliters, right? UG/milliliters, right? In the absence of the LPS, right? The GONPs elicited a inflammatory response from the marine microphage, raw and whole blood cell cultures at 15.6 and 5 UG/milliliters. I think that's liters. Oh, I don't even know what that means. ML. Respectively. The most important part about that, it elicited an inflammatory response, right? And they're cytotoxic. Toxic, we all know what that means. That's another word for poison, right? So right about now, I feel like I'm going crazy. Graphene oxide nanoparticles are cytotoxic. And they said it's a part of the vaccine, part of the lipid that's to hold the spike protein in place. Graphene oxide was just studied and never actually used after finding out it was cytotoxic in blood cell cultures and cytotoxic in the immune system. Who would be insane enough to use graphene oxide in an experimental vaccine and mandate the vaccine? Who would do that? Graphene oxide in the vaccine? Maybe. Only in the nanoparticles, in the lipid used to contain the spike protein. But wouldn't that make the vaccine cytotoxic to human cells? Since it's going into the cell. Toxic means not absolutely safe. In fact, it means dangerously unsafe. They wouldn't use it. They wouldn't use it because of the safety issues it presents. Right? Yet they want adults to take these vaccines, and they want them to take the most precious things in their life to receive a dose of this apparently cytotoxic jab worldwide. Remember, the woman complained about menstrual issues, and I think it was Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend, testicle swelling and becoming sterile. Let's look a little further. Lipid nanoparticles. LNPs, right? In mRNA, COVID-19 vaccines are essentially delivery vehicles that protect the mRNA when the vaccine is injected and transported to the right place in the cells. The polyethylene glycol, PEG, right? It's a compound used in both COVID-19 mRNA vaccines to keep the lipid nanoparticles stable. Medical experts at Medan's health desk explain this is why the term PEG LNP may be used. Polyethylene glycol can be found listed as an ingredient amongst the lipids in the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, right? PEG has a long history of safe use in FDA-approving drug formulations. Catherine Whitehead, Associate Professor of the Chemical Engineering and Biomedical Engineering at Carnegie Mellon University, told Rutgers via email, the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control, right, at the CDC, does not recommend the mRNA vaccine for people with PEG allergies, right? What the hell is PEG? Polyethylene glycol, PEG is a polyether compound, polyether compound derived from petroleum with many applications from industrial manufacturing to medicine. PEG is also known as polyethylene or oxide or PEO, polyethylene oxide or PEO, or polyoxyethylene, POE, polyoxyethylene, depending on its molecular weight. PEG is considered biologically inert and safe by who? The FDA. The good old FDA says it's safe. And that's what's holding everything together. But how is someone to know if they're allergic to polyethylene glycol, PEG? It's good to know that the good old FDA, in all their infinite wisdom, approves of PEG. That should make the world feel safe. PEG is used to keep the lipid nanoparticles stable. That means or implies that there is no graphene oxide in the vaccine, and that includes in the nanoparticles. I think. Again, it's reasonable to have a discussion about the presence of graphene oxide in the vaccine based on the data and the findings of scientists who say they have found graphene oxide present in the vaccine. So what are these scientists trying to say? Are they anti-vaxxers? It seems like the government agencies are quite aware of the danger of graphene oxide and nanoparticles. And it is a good thing polyoxyethylene, POE, is used in the COVID-19 vaccine instead of graphene oxide. Or is it? From PubMed, again, recent progress of graphene oxide as a potential vaccine carrier and adjuvant, A-D-G-U-V-A-N-T, that's an additive, right, in the vaccine, right? This is from 2020, August. Vaccine is one of the most effective strategies for preventing and controlling infectious disease and some non-infectious diseases, especially cancer. Adjuvants and carriers have been appropriately added to the vaccine formulation to improve the immunogenicity of the antigen and induce long-lasting immunity. However, there is an urgent need to develop new all-purpose adjuvants because some adjuvants approved for human use have limited functionality. Graphene oxide, widely employed for the delivery of biomolecules, excels in loading and delivering antigen and shows the potentiality of activating the immune system. The potential for activating the immune system, graphene oxide. However, graphene oxide aggregates in biological liquid and induces cell death, and it also exhibits poor biosolubility and biocompatibility. Well, that sounds like a contradiction to me. I don't know. To address these limitations, various surface modifications protocols have been employed to integrate compatible substances with graphene oxide to effectively improve its biocompatibility. More importantly, these modifications render functionalized graphene oxide with superior properties as both carriers and adjuvants, right? That's I guess that's the word they use for additives. Herein, the recent progress of psychochemical properties and surface modification strategies of graphene oxide for its application as both carrier and adjuvant is reviewed. Statement of significance. Due to its unique psychochemical properties, graphene oxide is widely employed in medicine for purposes of photothermal treatment of cancer, drug delivery, antibacterial therapy, and medical imaging. Our work describes the surface of modification of graphene oxide and for the first time summarizes that functional graphene oxide serves as a vaccine carrier. And so significant adjuvant activity in activating cellular and hormonal immunity. In the future, it is expected to be introduced into vaccine research to improve the efficacy of vaccines. So should you be looking at people sideways and say they found something in the vaccine that vaccine makers say isn't there based on this information? Does it sound that way to you? Well, this PubMed article expects graphene oxide to be incorporated into vaccine research to improve vaccine efficacy. They even talked about doing something to make it safer, right? This is more than a reason to think that graphene oxide is or could currently be in the mRNA and spike protein COVID-19 vaccine. Kitten is a delivery system that they say is better, actually. So PubMed, just in case you don't know what that is, PubMed is a free resource supporting the search and retrieval of biochemical and life sciences literature with the aim of improving health both globally and personally. PubMed database contains more than 33 million citations and abstracts of biochemical literature. It does not include full-text journal articles. However, links to the full-text are often present when available from other sources, such as the publisher's website. I suggest that everybody use PubMed. You can do your own research. Available to the public online since 1996, PubMed was developed and is maintained by the National Center for Biotechnology Information and the U.S. National Library of Medicine, and located at the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. And we've been hearing a lot about those folks, right? PubMed is larger than the, anyway, it says most journals indexed in PubMed are peer-reviewed. Okay, so they asked about peer-reviewed things and stuff like that, right? From the U.S. FDA. Since December 11, 2020, the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine has been available under EUA in individuals 16 years of age and older. Excuse me. The authorization was expanded to include those 12 through 15 years of age on May 10th, 2021. NutriTruth.org says graphene oxide, the vector against the COVID-19. Basically, the nanotech graphene oxide is superconductive and highly integrated with the neutron cells in the brain. We talked about that, right? That is why this is above my pay grade and right out of a science fiction movie. This is a lot right here because this is the tip of the iceberg, really, because I guess the main thing you're going to get out of this is nanotechnology, graphene oxide part of it, the vaccine. And I hope the other thing to get out of this, I need to go start doing my own research. National Technology Initiative, right? I'm not going to get back on that because that's just a repetition. But here is fundamental concepts of nanoscience and nanotechnology, right? From them. It's hard to imagine just how small nanotechnology is. One nanometer is a billionth of a meter, or I think we already did this here. Here are a few illustrative examples. Yeah, we did that. We're not going to go back over that again. From the Hive blog, graphene oxide infused lipid nanoparticles to force us into biosynthetic hybrids. Now, they just went right for the sci-fi horror film scenario. Because that just that right there is enough right there to scare you. Graphene oxide-infused lipid nanoparticles to force us into biosynthetic hybrids. And I just read you some of the capabilities of graphene oxide, right? What they say is some of the capabilities of, you know. So they use it as a delivery system, they say. And, they say they were looking at it as a delivery system, at least. But the vaccine makers say, hey, we don't have that in our vaccine. But we get information saying different. As most people are starting to finally understand that they're, are no highly deadly contagious viruses, organisms chasing after and attacking them, they say. They say there's no highly contagious organisms chasing you. The closer we get to that, to a healthy and needed collective understanding and clarity of what humans are doing to their, to other humans, say so. I say, in reality, we are dealing with man-made neurotoxins that are made of genetic engineering to genetically modify the human life form into a more synthetic being. Now, I guess this is the total extreme of everything because one thing, such a thing is going to kill you. This author feels that it's going to turn you into a synthetic person. Anyway, they say neurotoxicity occurs when the exposure to natural or man-made toxic substances, neurotoxins, alters the normal activity of the nervous system. This can eventually disrupt or even kill neurons, kill cells that transmit and process signals to the brain and other parts of the nervous system. All viruses are a mental construct to understand the detoxification process and also the DNA upgrade process by receiving signals from inside and outside of the body. Once the signals are received, our innate adaptive immune system starts creating polymorphic exosomes that communicate and cause exosomal DNA recombination changes based on our life choices and environment. This is known as pleomorphism, but ultimately it's the underlying biogenesis matrix for life force. It allows our bodies to grow, change, and adapt to surroundings. The synthetic alteration we are putting ourselves through is slowly preventing this natural human adaptation as more people claim that they don't have a functioning innate adaptive immune system. They will accept the Pharma gene delivery drugs vaccine without question. They will actually crave for them as they live in constant fear of make-believe virus organisms. Mm. In short, graphene oxide is the supposed SARS-CoV-2. The supposed new coronavirus provoked before the disease called COVID-19. Therefore, we never had real isolation and purification of a new coronavirus. I heard that too. As recognized by most health institutions at the highest level and in different countries when they were questioned about it. COVID-19 disease is the result of introducing graphene oxide by various routes of administration. Man, then you wonder, like, how did people get COVID before they had the vaccine? So she's implying that graphene oxide was introduced even before the vaccine. A few details will help you understand perfectly everything that has been reported in the media. And she talked about this glutathione, extremely high in children, GLUTATHIONE, is extremely high in children. Therefore, the disease has hardly any impact on the child population. Glutathione drops very considerably after 65 years of age. Therefore, COVID-19 is especially prevalent in the senior population. And you know what happens when you have COVID morbidities, right? So I wonder if that lowers if you're sick. Anyway, glutathione is at very high levels in the intensive sports population. That's why only 0.22% of the athletes had the disease. Wikipedia says glutathione, GSH, is an antioxidant in plants, animals, fungi, and some bacteria and arachnia. Glutathione is capable of preventing damage to important cellular components caused by reactive oxygen species such as free radicals, peroxides, lipid peroxides, and heavy metals. It is tripeptide with a gamma peptide linkage between the should this A or 1 carbyl group of glutamine side chain and cysteine. I don't know what that means. We're going to skip that part right there. Anyway, that's a hell of an explanation for why the virus has less hospitalization and mortality rate for children. The absence of, or the presence or absence of this GSH. You can purchase GSH at area herbal stores or herbal sections in stores and the internet. Be sure to do your research before you make a decision. I'm not a doctor or herbalist. Continue from the Hive blog, right? Graphene oxide films can be deposited on essentially any substrate and later converted into a conductor. That's why graphene oxide is especially fit for use in the production of transparent conductive films, like the one used for flexible electronic solar cells, chemical sensors, and more. Graphene oxide is even studied as a tin oxide replacement in batteries and touchscreen. Wow. So we sound like we are already exposed to graphene oxide. Graphene oxide has a high surface area, and so it can be fit for use as electrode material for batteries, capacitors, and solar cell. Graphene oxide is cheaper and easier to manufacture than graphene, and so may enter mass production and use sooner. Graphene oxide is easy mixed with different polymers and other enhanced properties of composite materials like tensile strength, elasticity, conductivity, and more. In solid form, graphene oxide flakes attached to one another to form thin and stable flat structures that can be folded, wrinkled, and stretched. Such graphene oxide structures can be used for applications like hydrogen storage, ion conductors, and nanofiltration membranes, right? Graphene oxide is fluorescent, which makes it especially appropriate for various medical applications, biosensing, and disease detection during carrier and antibacterial materials. Drug carriers and antibacterial materials, sorry about that, are just some of the possibilities. So graphene oxide is something seems like they could use almost everywhere, anywhere. What they fail to understand about graphene oxide is that when used in the body of a human, it does not mix well with our natural human biological matrix, the creation of healthy cells. This graphene oxide latches onto our cells like rust and creates heavy oligomers. Oligomers, O-L-I-G-O-M-E-R-S, interlocking chains that combine with graphene nanoparticles with our natural biosynthesis, which will make us hybrid humans. This hybridization stops our soul from freely flowing through us and connecting with the divine source energy code to receive DNA upgrade. But most people are not fully aware of the mechanics of this operation. They will think this information is just a crazy theory instead of knowing the truth. It's above my pay grade, and I'm not ruling it out. But it's definitely above my pay grade. It's not easy to grasp and understand, especially as many are already born hybrids and don't care or want to see the truth of what or who they really are. Wow. They don't know what it's like being naturally human and have no desire to experience 5D human frequency. They are weak and accept genetic engineering products to make humans better. The only time they experienced 5D frequency was at birth and slowly but surely forgot what it was like. Once you become fully aware of all this, you tend to realize this has been a battle raging for many years. It is not something new. The mind virus, as in believing in something that is only an illusion, has caused the destruction of many civilizations. We are simply repeating history until we can rise above this and the rise of awareness of reality instead of falling victims to the trickery and deceptions. Wow. That was deep right there. I'm trying to give everybody a voice on here, but that right there was super deep. From ambassadorlove.worldpress.com. Confirmed. Graphene oxide, main ingredient in COVID shots. What? Impossible. So, Karen Kinston, a former Pfizer employee and current analyst for the pharmaceutical and medical device industries, came forward with indisputable documentation proving that graphene oxide nanoparticles is the key ingredient in biotech's COVID-19 serums. This means that an unproven industrial poison is being dishonestly marketed as vaccine and injected into children's veins. Well, I think it's the muscle that they're injecting into, but we get the point. In her must-watch interview with Stu Peters on July 28th, Kinston revealed how graphene oxide was hidden under a trade secret. Trade secret means you don't have to disclose it because it's a trade secret. It's not a secret if you disclose it. So, right. So it's a trade secret. You don't have to say what it is, right? It was also not disclosed to the public, Kinston explains, because it was not required due to it being the registered intellectual property of the pharmaceutical cartel. Prior to the, that show, Karen did a series of four additional interviews they suggest you listen to. Interviews with Doug Billing on the Right Side. They want to say graphene oxide has never been used on humans before, but it's been extensively researched for intended use on humans, which I've been reading some of that stuff, right? And from some reliable sources. There are over 2,000 studies on graphene oxide toxicity, and 500 of them were published in 2017. It said, on biotech COVID-19 jabs include graphene oxide and lipid-coated nanoparticles. Dr. Kaufman showed a study entitled Graphene Oxide Incorporated Hydrogels for Biomedical Applications, revealing that graphene oxide has been developed for biomedical gene and drug delivery under the EU's graphene flagship. Okay? Under the 1 billion euros EU product, gene delivery for the an untransnasal SARS-CoV-2 flu vaccine was tested using, wait for it, graphene oxide. Okay. Well, I'm convinced somebody's using graphene oxide, and they said a patent from China was filed and approved last year using graphene oxide nanotechnology in gene and drug delivery and diagnostic purposes for, wait for it, coronavirus vaccine. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, a lot of elements. I mean, why are they picking this one out? There are a couple dozen articles describing the use of lipid nanoparticles and graphene oxide for ovarian cancer treatment using gene therapy. Kissing points out that Moderna was in fact researching and developing graphene oxide for cancer treatment. Moderna is specialized in cancer cures, not vaccines. Moderna was an oncology cancer therapy company, right? That's just repeating what they said. They specialize on cancer. Alexander Henron Caud, C-A-U-D, is an RNA-based genetic scientist who confirmed in January that the Moderna and Pfizer biotech vaccines are not vaccines at all, but it's a technology that is closer to gene therapy. They go on to say that it's also inappropriate to call the mRNA therapeutics or mRNA drug-based drugs gene therapy because they are, number one, being administered to healthy people. Number two, mRNA technology was developed to treat cancer. Wow. So this genetic scientist is saying that the use of this mRNA technology is totally inappropriate. Graphene was considered a wonderful material due to its never-before-seen properties. It's the strongest material known to man, with 1,000 times the strength of titanium, and yet it's nano-particularized. Graphene oxide is super elastic, highly conductive, enabling it to enter even the brain. Right? They say Moderna, Pfizer, Biotech, et cetera, were in the race to research and development graphene oxide nanoparticles as a cancer cure. So graphene oxide was injected into animals and used as the vector, right, to deliver a novel mRNA drug technology directly into the cell. I'm going to read this one again. Moderna, Pfizer, Biotech, etc. were in a race to research and development of graphene oxide nanoparticles as a cancer cure. So graphene oxide was injected into animals and used as the vector, right, to deliver a novel mRNA drug technology directly into the cells. All right, so what happened? I guess that's the next question. So what? What happened? At first, the animals seemed fine, and the cancer cells were successfully destroyed. But 2 months after inoculation, all the animals got sick and died from antibody-dependent enhancement. Does that sound familiar? If you've been listening to me, that should. Healthy cells were destroyed by the graphene oxide nanoparticle. Safety and toxicity were the farmer cartel's main challenges in using this novel technology for biomedical applications such as gene therapy. After two animal trials that resulted in the death of all the animals, graphene oxide could not be approved for use in humans due to its toxicity to healthy cells and due to ADE, all right, antibody enhancement, antibody-dependent enhancement, right? Please look that up, y'all. I had a whole show on that. If you don't follow me, look it up. In which the immune system destroys itself, right? That's the short version, right? If you have ADE, your immune system is going to destroy, so it's going to attack itself. Frontline doctors already seeing ADE in these unapproved COVID-19 human trials. Experts such as Europe's leading virologist, Professor Doris Cahill, world-renowned scientist Mike Adams of Natural News, world's leading virologist Greg Van Den Boucher, and Pfizer whistleblower Dr. Michael Yaten warned us that ADE would come. See how scary this story is? The more you look, the more you see. Dr. Judy Milkowitz revealed in her exclusive interview with Mike Adams that the pharma cartel was totally broke. Their novel technology could not be used for gene therapy after all, despite the pharma had invested a lot of money in development of graphene oxide for biomedical devices. According to the animal studies, the pharma cartel also knew that graphene oxide enables self-replicating vaccines, aka transmission, right? This essentially means that the pharma cartel is falsely marketing gene therapies as vaccines in order to profit by injecting an unapproved industrial chemical into humans without their informed consent. Talked about that? That is a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code, right? It is apparent now that the farmer of cartel is determined to profit anyhow at the expense of all our lives, she said. Like they say, follow the money trail. You want to know why things are happening. She encouraged you to read her article entitled Graphene Oxide, the Vector for COVID-19 Domicide. Right? Are killing the people. Right? We are literally being saturated with this evil dust, which is the very thing Julian Assange called graphene oxide during his last interview. I don't know who Julian Assange is. So, the vaccine makers say the mRNA technology, spike protein nanotechnology, is safe, but it appears it is actually toxic, dangerous, deadly, and harmful to the human immune system and other systems in the body. This article alleges, as usual, we have been lied to for profit again. And the penalty is severe illness and death. Can we trust Dr. Judy Milkowitz? If you don't, there was a host of other people that said it's saying the same thing she's saying about graphene oxide, even though she's a formal scientist who was known for her discredited medical claims, such as the murine endogenous retrovirus are linked to chronic fatigue syndrome, right? She has engaged in any anti-vaccination activism, promoted conspiracy theories, and has been accused of scientific misconduct. She has made false claims about vaccines, COVID-19, and CFS, right? She gained attention in social media for promoting her ideas about COVID-19 pandemic. She does not believe that a vaccine is needed to prevent COVID-19 and claims that the coronavirus was created by a bad strain of flu vaccine that was circulating between 2013 and 15. She also claimed masks will activate the virus and reinfect a mask wearer over and over. Well, Judy Mekovic's theories may not have been proven. We don't have a vaccine that provides protection from infection or immunity. Technically, we don't have a vaccine at all, which actually supports her theory that a vaccine is not needed to prevent COVID-19. We have gene therapy masquerading as a vaccine. Her concerns about graphene oxide are not unfounded. As PubMed article stated, graphene oxide was expected to be used to improve vaccine efficacy. And as the other whistleblowers and scientists have revealed, she is not the only scientist or medical professional who says graphene oxide is in the vaccine. If we can believe the vaccines are safe and trust the vaccine makers who have a history of distributing products that have been known to be harmful to humans, surely we can consider Dr. Judy Mekovic's graphene oxide concerns, especially because there are other people who have the same concerns.
Excuse me.
I mean, if you can believe these vaccine makers, you can. You shouldn't take what she's saying with a grain of salt. She's not alone. She's not alone in that. Her theories about graphene oxide. I don't know how she got the information, but you just don't stick your hand in a hat and pull out graphene oxide. And all these people just sticking their hand in a hat, pulling out graphene oxide is in the vaccine.
Excuse me.
This website called parents.google.com. They say the nano coronavirus with COVID vaccine taking graphene oxide as a carrier. Again. Right? All these people, if you don't want to believe her, you got all these other people saying the same thing. The invention belongs to the field of nanomaterial and biomedicine, right? The new coronavirus vaccine contains graphene oxide, carnosine, and the same stuff I just read you on the other, on the previous. The NIH, National Library of Medicine, PubMed.gov, National Center for Biotechnology Information, affects the graphene oxide nanoparticles on the immune system biomarkers produced by the RAW-264.7 and the human whole blood cultures. And I think I mentioned that also. There was cytotoxic to both the raw and the whole cell blood cultures. Inflammatory or biomarkers, cytokines of the acquired immune system and proton profile analyst, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. Anyway, the current study shows that the graphene oxide nanoparticles modulate immune system biomarkers and that these may pose a high risk to individuals exposed to this type of nanoparticle. Key words are cytotoxicity, graphene oxide, nanoparticles, hormonal immune response, microphage activation. Listen, I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. Rights and freedoms. See, running out of time. I'm trying to run through here. They ran an article talking about Dr. Robert Young and his team's conducted research to identify specific ingredients in the Pfizer and Moderna, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson COVID injections, right? Dr. Young is a biochemist, microbiologist, and clinical nutritionist, right? He and his team of scientists have confirmed what the La Quinta Colamna researchers found. Toxic nanometallic contacts, which are magnetic-toxic, cytotoxic, and genotoxic to plants, insects, birds, animals, and humans, all life on the planet. One of the vaccines even contained life-threatening parasites. This is crazy. Taken together, the vaccine components, which include graphene oxide amongst many others, and which may be influenced by radiation sources, internal, external to us, that's 5G, right? Create a toxic chemical and radioactive suit inside our body. Anyone who has COVID injection is seriously putting their lives at risk. This is from Rights and Freedoms. Rhonda Wilson on August 30th, 21st, right? It previously covered some of the La Quinta Colamna research in two articles. Spanish researchers found COVID-19 vaccines contain toxic levels of graphene oxide, right? The real pandemic, COVID-19 or graphene oxide, poisonous nanomaterial found in COVID vaccines and face masks. All four COVID vaccines contain relatively high levels of graphene oxide, but both the Pfizer and Moderna liposome capsules are 100% graphene oxide after extracting the mRNA, they said. Graphene oxide is cytotoxic, genotoxic, and magnetic ticotoxic. That's a hell of a word right there. The liposome delivers the graphene oxide to specific organs, glands, tissues, namely the ovaries, testes, bone, marrow, heart, and brain. Remember that. Also found in Pfizer injection was the Trypanosoma cruzi, a parasite of which several variants are lethal and is one of many causes of acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Also found in the Pfizer injection was the Trypanosoma, Trypanosoma cruzi. C-R-U-Z-I, a parasite of which several variants are lethal and one of many causes acquired immune deficiency syndrome. So this Trypanosoma cruzi causes AIDS, because that's what acquired immune deficiency syndrome is. In the AstraZeneca vaccines, Dr. Young and his team identified histidine, histidine, sucrose, polyethylene glucose, PEG, right? Ethylene alcohol, which are also contained in the Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen COVID vaccine injection. PEG was the only adjuvant declared on the data sheet listing the ingredients of the AstraZeneca injection. The injection of PEG and ethylene alcohol are both known to be carcinogenic, cancer-causing, and genotoxic, toxic to the gene. Wow. Now, the FDA established PEG is safe. What kind of science allows two completely different results on PEG? Someone has to be not telling the truth. Janssen also contains particles which were composed of stainless steels which are glued together with a carbon-based glue for reduced graphite oxide. The stainless steel aggregation of carbon, oxygen, iron, and nickel held together with graphene oxide found in the so-called Janssen vaccine. This aggregate is highly magnetic and can trigger pathological blood coagulation and the corona effect or the spike protein effect. Cells on the left are healthy, concave. Cells on the right are hollow, not concave. They have lost their hemoglobin, which is the spike protein effect or corona effect. Coagulation of the blood on the left, white blood cells with the lactic and citric acid crystals and pathological blood coagulation. On the right, blood analysis showing this symbol, intravascular coagulation thrombosis, immature neutrophils, I don't know what that is, of the corona effect, and acanthocytosis. Woo! Look, the Moderna vaccine also contains many spherical foreign bodies with some bubble-shaped activity. These highly toxic nanoparticulate composition are quantum dots of candium selenide, which are cytotoxic and genotoxic. All right? Quantum dots are semiconductors of nanoparticles and glow a particular color after being illuminated by light. The color they glow depends on the size of the nanoparticle. Dr. Young's paper concludes that these COVID injections are not vaccines, but nanotechnological drugs working as gene therapy. All of these so-called vaccines are patent, and therefore their actual content is kept secret even to buyers who, of course, are using taxpayers' money. So consumers, taxpayers have no information about what they are receiving in their bodies by inoculation, injection, right? Vaccine, right? According to Dr. Young, an estimated 50 million people worldwide have already been injured and potentially 35 million deaths due to COVID-19 injections. This is likely to increase in the coming months, with people who have had two injections being 13 times likely to be injured, hospitalized, or killed by the Delta variant compared to those with natural immunity. But what is actually causing the COVID variant and future waves? The genetic code for the spike protein in the vaccine is computer generated. It is man-made and can be easily altered. Listen to this. And the graphene oxide in the body's tissue, brain, connective tissue, potentially in the muscles, will interact with pulsating frequencies within the 5G range, said Dr. Young. This will be what causes the next wave predicted in October. Well, we're in November now. So I don't know what the stats are. I'm about to check that out. I'm about to backtrack. Check that out. Stop putting poison in your body, Dr. Young says. COVID inoculations are dangerous because the nanoparticles pass right through the blood-brain barrier. They can pass right through the air blood barrier. That is why these inoculations are so dangerous. It's because the particles break through the blood-brain barrier, which is protected, the air-blood barrier, and the testicular or ovarian barrier. Whoa! The particles go right in to poison our body in order to heal the body makes no sense. It is a failed narrative. Wow. And see, I know I mentioned on another show, there was a women were complaining about menstrual issues, and guys were complaining about issues with their reproductive organs. Let's just leave it at that. So why would they put graphene oxide in COVID injections? At the end of July, Pfizer whistleblower Karen Kinston confirmed there is undisclosed graphene oxide in the COVID injections. Stu Peters with Karen Kinston, former Pfizer employee, confirms poisoning COVID. Karen Kinston is the former employer and current analyst for the pharmaceutical and chemical company, right? So we're running out of time. So I mean, she basically talked about how, you know, these things were toxic, basically. So in conclusion, that is scary. Now we wait to see if anything they say is true or false, because that is all some of us can do. With all this evidence, it's business as usual. Spike protein, graphene oxide, nanotechnology, and deadly adjunctives or not. All for what grand purpose? It most certainly can't be our health and well-being. It is evil to deceptively herd the world into a false sanctuary under the banner of goodwill, to come in peace and bring destruction. These genetic engineered vaccines offer a one-door solution to a suspicious and ever-mutating virus. Everyone is directed, advised, encouraged, and forced to be herded towards what is portrayed and professed to be the only light at the end of the tunnel. For some strange reason, I keep hoping that these vaccine dangers are not real or not as devastating as told. I see something or someone working very hard to get this vaccine almost in almost everyone on the planet, regardless of the toxic red flags. Oddly enough, the vaccine makers have reputations for violating the trust of the people by distributing products that are known to be harmful, with lawsuits to support their discretion. These are the people or industries our not-so-trusted government led by Biden, Dr. Fauci, the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO advocate that we blindly trust. Isn't that like trusting your rapist or a pig trusting his butcher? What about a lab animal trusting his keepers? The problem is, some of us are not blind, and we do not trust those who historically and systematically have transgressed against us. I keep hoping that the mad scientist is a figment of my imagination, a character of comic proportion who could never really exist. It said that you will know the devil by his work. Devil is live spelled backwards, indicating to live backwardly or perpetuate the defiling of life through anti-life ideologies, industries, science, cultures, civilizations, transgress against creation. Any transgression against creation is a transgression against the creator. Those who defile life are wrapped in iniquity. Those who are subjected to their defilement are subjected their iniquitous living hell. We are too scientifically advanced to be having this debate, which makes it very, very suspicious. The responsibility of government is to meet with their accusers, review the data, have an independent lab or lab assess the dangers of severe adverse effects, prove that the vaccines are safe, prove that the scientists and medical professionals who state that the vaccines are dangerous, even deadly, are mistaken, wrong or right. prove that the vaccine makers have not herded us to our death. Discontinue the vaccine rollout if the vaccines are dangerous and hold those responsible for injuries accountable for their actions. Every vaccine maker, scientist, government agencies, and personalities, medical professionals who promoted and perpetuated the danger. We should not be taking a vaccine in fear of dying if we don't, and in fear of dying if we do. Knowledge is freedom. We must free our minds with the bitter or sweet truth because it will strengthen our next step on the stairway of life and death. We see what they are doing. Now the question is, what are we willing to do or not to do? Unite, unite, all power to the people. Until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.